chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Let's read it here. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 to 10 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press." There was there's crowds of people, such a press of people, crowds of people, that he could not see him because the Bible says he was little of stature. He was just on the shorter side of things. It says, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him," what's the next word?
"Joyfully."
"Received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." You imagine that. Jesus went to eat with a sinner. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And let's pray. Father, help us this afternoon as we look at your word. Help us to be challenged and stirred in our hearts. Help us to give you what you deserve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Jesus Christ tells us, the Bible tells us there about verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He died so that we could be saved. What a blessing it is. I hope we never get over that. I hope you never get so used to hearing that that it's just, you know, water off a duck's back. It just rolls off of you. It kind of goes in and goes out. No, I hope it moves us and grabs our heart and squeezes our heart to think that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, left heaven and came down to earth to die on a cross for you, Samuel. To die on a cross for you, John. He died for us. He died for you. He died for me on a cross so we could be saved, so we could have eternal life, so we could have a home in heaven. He died so that our lives could be changed forever. He died so that our lives could be changed forever, so that we could be born again, so that we could be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ deserves our best. Turn with me, if you would, back to Exodus chapter number 22. Exodus chapter 22, and if you can turn there and listen at the same time. Exodus chapter 22, we'll be there in just a moment. But listen to this about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus realized that he was a lost sinner. And Zacchaeus received Christ. The Bible doesn't give great detail, really, of the conversion experience, but Christ did promise him that today salvation was come to his house. And I don't think it's because of the promises he made that, well, I'll do such and such, or I'll restore such and such. I think it's because God saw the heart of Zacchaeus and saw his faith and saw that here was somebody that, though he was a publican, though he was not one that, you know, was believing in Christ before, that now he was. And now he had faith. And Christ realized that and promised that Zacchaeus would be saved. Not only was he saved, though, but we see it instantly with Zacchaeus. We see that on his meeting with Jesus, his life was changed. He was now committed to being a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was changed forever. Those with whom he had been dishonest, remember some people said, Jesus is going to eat with a sinner. They knew what these people did. They knew that Zacchaeus was a sinful sort of man. He was a wrong sort of man. He'd been a dishonest man in his financial dealings. But now that he was changed, he said, you know what? I'll restore them fourfold. I'm gonna try to make things right as best I can. I want to make things right with all those people that I was dishonest with, all those people that I ripped off. I want to make things right with them. And that's a godly attitude. That's a right kind of attitude, to have a desire to make things right from the past. No doubt Zacchaeus had robbed and stolen from some poor people, as the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a rich man monetarily. But when Zacchaeus got saved that day, Jesus changed his life. He knew that the wrongs in his life must be made right. He knew that things had to be different now that he was saved. And Zacchaeus allowed God to do a transformation in his life. Zacchaeus allowed God to transform him and change him and make him into a new creature. And that is what we must allow God to do in each one of our lives. God doesn't just want to save you, although he does want to save you. He does want to extend his grace and mercy to forgive us our sins and save us from hell and take us to heaven. He does want to do that. But he wants more than that. He wants to change our life. He wants to make us a new person. He wants our life to become a living testimony and to point others to Christ. He wants the world to see a difference in our lives that they would want to. Jesus Christ, remember this, he died to save us. And since he died to save us, don't you think he deserves our best? Don't you think he deserves our best? When I read the story of Zacchaeus and see what happened and the change in Zacchaeus, I think Zacchaeus was a man now who realized he deserves my best. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come. Jesus Christ has come and died for me. Jesus Christ has come so that I can have eternal life. Jesus has come to change me. And I want to give him my best. You know what? God wants the same for you. Carlos, God wants to come into your life and have your life be so changed that you say, Jesus deserves my best. God deserves my best. I know that God in heaven gave his best for me. I know that God in heaven gave his son to die on the cross for me. He gave his best for me. I'll give my best for him. Eddie, I'll give my best for Jesus. Ruby, I'll give my best for Jesus. I want to live for God. I want to live for Christ. I want to do my best for him. I think that would please the Lord. Notice what it says in Exodus 22. And beginning in verse number 1 down through verse 5. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he shall make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Talking about making things right. You know, if you know God, shouldn't you try to make things right? If you spent all those years robbing from God, never paying a tithe to God, don't you think you should do what you can to honor and make things right with God? If you were someone who you stole from your neighbor, you stole from your workplace, you're going to have to do it in a way to not lose your job, hopefully. But don't you think it'd do you good to maybe be an honest Christian and try to make things right? Try to make things right. I've heard stories of people that have, you know, gone and sent things back to some former workplace or sent things back and say, you know, when I was young. And you know what? You could use that to be an opportunity to be a witness for Christ. What if you wrote a letter of apology back to someone that you stole from in the past or something and said, I'm so wrong and I'm so ashamed of what I did. But something's happened to me now. I got saved. I became a Christian. And I know now just how wrong that was. And I'm ashamed that I did that. And I'm sending you such and such because best I can, I want to make things right. But I ask you to forgive me. And realize I'm different now and I don't want to live like that anymore. Do you think that, do you understand how what a powerful witness that could even be for Christ? Because your life's been changed. Listen, God deserves our best, doesn't he? It says, notice verse number 5. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his best and shall feed in another man's field of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard. Notice these words. Shall he make restitution? Restitution. You're going to try to restore things to make things right. Notice there was a word. What verse was it used in? Somewhere in these verses, I think it used the word trespasses. I'm not sure which verse it is, or if it's in those verses or near there. But you know what a trespass is? A trespass is our sins. We trespass against someone. We go beyond some boundaries that we're not supposed to. when we've done some things where we've broken laws, where we've been dishonest, where we've sinned against God. Now, I understand we're not saved by our trying to make things right with God. But since He has saved us freely by His grace, shouldn't we do what we can to make things right in the sense of how we make things right with other people? We recognize what God did for us, and we begin to recognize that, wow, I am, as Paul talked about, I'm a debtor. You know, I owe God such a great debt because of what He's done for me. Shouldn't I live for Him? In Ephesians 2, it talks about how before we got saved, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13 says that we were dead in our sins before God forgave us of all our sins, before God forgave us of all our trespasses. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 teaches us that God will no longer impute or write down or record any of our trespasses or sins after we get saved. That's a wonderful thing. He's not recording them. He's not writing them down. God gave us His very best when He saved us. He loved us even though we were dirty, filthy, unworthy sinners against God, trespassed against God, sinned against God. Still, He loved us and He gave us His best. How many of us would be willing to give our best for some criminal, give our best for some sinner, give our best for someone that's wronged us, hurt us? But God in heaven loved us so much that even though we'd wronged Him, disobeyed Him, sinned against Him, even though the Bible describes us as being the enemies of God, still He loved us and gave us His best. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, not just His Son, but His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. God's Son took our place on the cross. Why? Because He loved us. God gave His best for us because of our trespasses, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He gave us His best so that we could be justified in the sight of God and a child of God and on our way to heaven. We've got a great Savior and a great God, a wonderful God. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for us. He gave His only begotten Son. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave His best for us, for our trespasses, for our sins. Now we ought to give our best for Him. If you've received that gift of God's grace, you've received of God's mercy, you've been saved, you're born again, you're a child of God now, and you understand that God gave His best for me, shouldn't you give your best for Him for the rest of your life? Shouldn't you give your best to please God? Shouldn't you give your best to serve God? Shouldn't you give your best of all that you have of your time and your treasure and your talent? Say, God, I want You to have my best. I want to do my very best for You. I want to give You my best. I want to serve You with my best. With all my heart, Lord, I want to serve You. Give Him your best. You know what? Christ did not save us for us to go on living like some people have called it, little hellions. We're not supposed to live like children of the devil or children of darkness. We're supposed to live as children of light. We're supposed to live as children of God. He didn't save us to go on living in our sin. The Bible says in Romans 6, God forbid. God forbid. We're saved by grace and we should no longer live in sin. We're to live for Christ and live a life pleasing to Him. Followers of Jesus Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ. God saved us so that we'd live for Him. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you would. I want you to just understand and remember this thought today. Our trespasses require our best. Our trespasses require our best. God gave His best for us because of our trespasses. Hey, why don't we give our best back to Him? Now that we're saved freely by His mercy and grace, let's give Him our best. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verses 19 and 20. You found that with me. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which ye have in you? Not sure if I'm quoting it right. And ye are not your own. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Notice those words in there. you're not your own. You're not your own. Do you recognize that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. This body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. This life doesn't belong to me, that I can do whatever I want with my life. My life belongs to God. And I've got to strive to do what would please God and what would honor God. Your life belongs to Him after you get saved, and He deserves your best. How can we so selfishly or rebelliously live for ourselves? How can we put ourselves first? How can we ignore God's commands? How can we do whatever we want to do, live the life we want to live, and just maybe disregard God's plan and set the Bible on the shelf and say, I don't care what God says for me. I don't care how God wants me to live. I want to live my life and do what I want to do. How could we ever say that? How could we dare say that to God? We need to learn, how can I be a disciple of Christ? How can I follow Christ? How can I do those things that are pleasing to Him? And as you read and study the Word of God and He teaches you things, and you learn that this is what would please my Lord, this is what would please my Savior, this is what would please God, how can we not do that? How can we do anything less than to give Him our best? It would be the ultimate of selfish ingratitude for us to accept the gift of salvation and then just say, ha, I got what I want, now let me just do whatever I want. How selfish is that? How unthankful is that for us just to, okay, I'll take the gift of salvation. Boy, that sounds real good. But then not do anything else that Christ wants us to do. After He saved us, He wants us to live for Him. Hey, we sinned against a holy God. We sinned against the Creator of the universe. We sinned against our Maker. And our trespasses required that God would give His very best, His only begotten Son, His perfect, sinless Son, to come down to earth and die on the cross for me so I could be saved and brought into the family of God. Now, shouldn't I give Him my best? Shouldn't you, Eric, give God your best? Shouldn't you serve the Lord with your best? Shouldn't you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength? Why would some of us ever be half-hearted about living for God? I don't think God understands that well. Why would they be half-hearted? Why would they be unfaithful to me? Why would they not spend time talking to me? Why would they not give me what I asked for? I gave them my Son. I gave them my Son, Jesus. God deserves our best. God has done so much for us. How can we possibly not give our best to live for Him? We give our best to serve Jesus. We must give our best to serve Jesus. We understand our best cannot save us. We don't give our best because we're hoping to be saved or looking for salvation. God gave His best so we could be saved. God gave His best so that we could be saved, forgiven of our sins and transgressions against God. You're saved for by grace, or you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Titus 3 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Well, listen, we're not saved in any way by our own works and the things that we do. We understand that. We're saved by the grace of God and mercy of God because God gave His best for us. But because of that, we should live for Him. Because of that, we should give our best. I don't give my best because I'm hoping to do right and please God enough that hoping that I'll be saved. I already know that I'm saved. I already know that I have the gift of eternal life. Our best is not given because we're hoping to earn salvation or work for salvation. We're giving our best because we love Him and because we're thankful for what He did for us. We give our best because we know that God in heaven gave His very best for us. Oh, because we're saved, we gotta give our best to serve Him. Ephesians 2 tells us about the wonderful saving grace of God and how we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But then it says in the very next verse, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we can't just separate it or forget all about it. Listen, if you've been saved, we're His workmanship. We are created now in Christ Jesus to do good works. There's things God wants you to do. God has a plan and a purpose, and God has better things for your life. Give your best for Him. Give your best for Jesus. Give your best to the Master. Serve Him with all your heart. Be busy serving Jesus Christ. Be busy spending time with God. Be busy spending time in prayer. Be busy reading your Bible. Be busy working for the Lord. Be busy trying to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Be busy trying to mentor or disciple somebody else to help them to follow the Lord with you. Be busy using your tongue to encourage and build up and witness for Christ. Be busy. Be busy for Him. Surrender to Him. God wants you to be a serving Christian. God wants you to be a tithing Christian. God wants you to be a giving Christian. God wants you to be a growing Christian and a surrendering Christian and a yielding Christian, a witnessing Christian. He wants you to be a spiritual fruit-bearing Christian. Let's serve the Lord. Why do Christians spend so much time doing what they want to do and so little time doing what God wants them to do? Why do Christians spend so much time doing what God wants them to do and so little time seemingly doing what God wants them to do? Our trespasses require our best. Our trespasses require or deserve that we would give God our best. The grace of God deserves that we would give Him our very, very best. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. The grace of God is not something that gives us the license or the liberty to live however we want to live. Some are confused about that. Some just think, oh, now I've got this liberty in Christ that I can just do whatever I want. It doesn't matter how I live. And it's all under the blood. Just live however I want and it's okay. But the liberty we have in Christ Jesus is not a license to sin. It's a liberty that we've been set free from the bondage of sin. We've been set free from the chains of sin. We're no longer enslaved to sin. But rather than being slaves to sin, that we would willingly come and make ourselves bond slaves to Jesus Christ. You can have me, God. I want to be in your chains. I want to be your servant. I want to be your bond slave. I want to serve you the rest of my life. Are we willing to come and make ourselves His servant? Notice what the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 18 through verse 21. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The grace of God is not intended to be a license or liberty to do what we want. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Notice chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? In the old ways. No, that's not what it says. Walk in the sinful way. Walk in the way that you want to live. No, walk in newness of life. Newness of life. Why? New creatures. We're to be new creatures and have a new life and walk a new way. God wants us to be different. Because of God's amazing grace, we should live a new life in Christ. He deserves our best. Our trespasses require our best. Has there ever been a greater Christian to walk the face of this earth than the Apostle Paul? Probably not. Not that we know. But Paul was a man who, there can be no doubt about it, once you study the New Testament scriptures, that Paul was somebody who gave his very, very best to Christ after he got saved. Oh, did Saul have many trespasses against God? Oh, yeah. Saul was somebody. And you know what the Bible says? To whom the Lord giveth much, that one loveth much. The one that's been forgiven much, that one loveth much. Saul was somebody who knew what it was like to be forgiven. He knew that God had given his best. Saul was somebody who hated Christians, persecuted Christians, was totally against everything to do with Jesus. But he got saved. His life got changed. Why was Saul then, who was a zealot, now a zealous Christian? Before, as he was so on fire against Christ, while he was so on fire for Christ. Before, he would try to put Christians to death, and now he'd be willing to die himself. Why was that? Because trespasses require our best. He said, I owe him so much. He deserves so much. I'll give him my best. I'll live for him. Doesn't he deserve your best? Your best? In Acts 9:20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? People knew there's something different. This is the someone who destroyed those that would call on Christ. This is someone that hated those that had anything to do with Jesus Christ. And now he's preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. What in the world? He's changed. He's different. Yeah, he is. And we all should be changed. We all should be different. We all should be new creatures in Christ Jesus. God may not necessarily make you a preacher or a pastor or a missionary or something like that. But you know what? I think God would love for all of us to be bold witnesses for Christ. Soul winners for Jesus Christ. Becoming and making disciples of Jesus Christ. Saul was a man who got saved. He got converted on the road to Damascus. And he got changed. God changed his life. He gave God his best. Before he got saved, he was given his best to go against God. He was giving his best to go against God. Why shouldn't he, now that he's saved, give his best for God? Some of you may have lived a life where you know it. Boy, before you got saved, you gave your best in sin. You didn't just piddle around with sin. No, you gave your best to sin. You gave your best to live for yourself. You gave your best to live the kind of life that you wanted to live, and a life that dishonored God and would have been a shame to God. Why not now give your best to live for him? Give your best for him. Before an enemy of God, but he had moved over to God's side. Why don't we get on God's side? Get on God's team. And give him your very, very best. Our trespasses require our best. His grace deserves that we give him our best. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and that's where we're going to finish. 2 Corinthians 8. When God's grace has done so much for me, how could I not give my best for him? When God's grace has given his best for you, how could you not give your best for him? Notice what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, by human nature, we all tend to be selfish, sinful people. It's not just you, it's all of us. It's me. By nature, we all tend to be selfish, self-centered, self-focused. We're sinful. Let me share with you this story from the Bible of what God's grace can do to change the hearts of people. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. In other words, he's saying, we really want you to know. We would really like you to understand, to be a witness of this thing. We really want you to know about something here. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I want you to know about some of those Philippian Christians. I want you to know about some of those people that got reached in Macedonia. In Philippi and in Thessalonica and Berea. I want you to know what happened to those Christians. What happened to those people? What happened? The grace of God is what happened. Do you see it? We want you to know, we do you to wit, of the grace of God. It was the grace of God that did something. The grace of God that changed their hearts. The grace of God that changed their lives. They'd gotten saved. Their hearts were changed. And because of that, their priorities changed. Their way of living changed. Their actions were changed. And notice the change. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Here were some people that were going through great trials and deep afflictions in their life. They were in deep poverty. Yet you know what Paul writes about them? They were some of the most giving people you'd ever meet in your life. How does that make sense? It's only because of the grace of God. It's because the grace of God had changed them. They were people in deep poverty. They were people being afflicted. But yet they were abounding in the liberality and the generosity of their giving to the work of the Lord and so on. Why? Because the grace of God had touched their heart. The grace of God had affected their lives so much. It changed them. It changed them. They were no longer selfish. They were no longer self-centered. They no longer put themselves first. They were just looking to please the Lord and to be a blessing to others and to help meet a need. The grace of God did something incredible in their heart. It was no longer about, well, here's my plans, and as I can fit God in, I'll do it. No, God had the priority in their life. God had the priorities in their daily schedule. God had the priority in their budget. God had the priority in everything. They were more concerned with God's priorities than they were their own. And in this particular area of giving, they gave far beyond anything that humanly it seemed impossible for them to give. Again, why? What happened? Notice, go down to verse 9. Notice verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's one of the most awesome verses in the Bible. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he was rich. I mean, he was the perfect, sinless Son of God in heaven, up in glory, getting to be with the Father. Why should he have to give that up? He chose to. He willingly came down to earth. He willingly gave his life for us on the cross. When you understand the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God gave his best for us, his only begotten Son, the grace of Jesus, hey, he was willing to lay down his life for us on the cross of Calvary. Why? So that we who were poor, we who were sinful, so that we could be made rich, so that we could become spiritual heirs, so that we could have a home in heaven and eternal life. Wow, the grace of God is amazing. And because of God's grace towards us, and God giving his best for us, we should want to give our best for him. You see, these people, the grace of God had done so much for them that they were moved from deep within their hearts to give their best for him. Their life no longer belonged to themselves. Remember what we read in Corinthians? For ye are bought with a price, you're not your own. Says they first willingly gave their own selves to the Lord. Their own life didn't even belong to them anymore. Nothing they had belonged to them anymore. Their life didn't belong to them. Their house didn't belong to them. Their finances didn't belong. None of it belonged to them anymore. They believed it was all God's. God owned it all. And I'm just here, and if God can use me in some way, because there's some people back there that have a need, or listen, they were willing to give their best. Because they understood this and they were affected by God's grace and they had given themselves to the Lord, and so everything belonged to him. Will you give your best for him? Hasn't God given his best for you? Didn't Jesus give his best for you? Shouldn't we give our best for him? Just in all areas of your life. determine that you want to give your best for the Master. You want to give your best for your Savior. You want to give your best for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, challenge us. Stir us, convict us, Lord. We are receivers of grace. We are the recipients of your love.